You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking about how to communicate with parents without breaching confidentiality. And I get this question a lot, not only from my staff at the center, but also from people in the coaching program and in the collective. And I think that this is a very valuable piece of the puzzle, because when we're learning how to articulate and communicate with parents and the effective methods with which we would do so, it's so important to keep in mind that we are in a very unique situation as play therapists, in that medical and legal and all other arenas for minors, parents are given unfettered full access to all records, all information, all knowledge. And as the legal guardian or parent of a minor, they are privileged with the opportunity to have anything that they need or want from any provider, with the exception of mental health. So as play therapists, it's very important for us to recognize that our obligation to confidentiality and to preserving confidentiality is with the child. And parents sometimes do not understand that, and they're not used to that. And it takes a lot of confidence and a lot of clarity on our part to help them understand what those boundaries are and what our obligations to preserve confidentiality are. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I have a couple of thoughts that I thought I would share, and hopefully this will help make sense of best practice, if you will, and how we do things at our center and the way that we found to be most effective when communicating with parents while still maintaining the confidentiality of the child. So first, I think it's important for us to discuss what we actually do share with parents, because we can't just say we have to preserve confidentiality. We have to also understand, but what do we communicate and what is fair game to discuss with parents in our consultations? So at the center, we make a point to bring up themes, obviously, and we spent a very long amount of time, many, many weeks, on themes. So hopefully you have a better understanding of knowing what those themes are, and then obviously being able to communicate those to parents. We also give broad picture overview of what children are working on. So that may be something like, your son is consistently playing out family relationships. That's a big picture overview. Or your child is consistently playing out aggression, and that is a release of pent-up emotion. So that would be another broad picture overview. So the goal is to communicate enough information that the parent feels that they're aware of what's going on, but no more than what is necessary. So we obviously bring up themes, we talk about observations, but then more importantly, we're also talking about the shifts within the play and the progress that we see the child is making. And this is why we encourage every 5 weeks to have a parent consultation, because less than that, you really don't have the objectivity of what shifts and changes and growth are taking place. And then longer than that, the parent can't hold out, and then they're frustrated and they don't feel like they're being given enough information. So 5 weeks is really the ideal timeline. And when you sit down, you're able to say, look, thematically, we're still in power and control play. But 5 weeks ago, the power and control play was dictatorial and it was absolute power. And now we've moved into there's means to an end, where the power is actually to make sure that justice is served. So it's no longer dictatorial, authoritarian power. Now we're seeing justice-oriented power and control. So that would be something you would share, because you want to help them understand the shifts and the progress that are taking place. You also want to help them understand where the child is in the stages and the phases of therapy. So you want them to know exactly where we are, what kind of stage and phase you're seeing in sessions, and that helps them understand better the timeline of treatment. So those are the things that you want to share with parents. None of those violate confidentiality. So then on the reverse of that, how do we preserve confidentiality and make sure that we're not doing anything that would violate that? You don't want to give specific details, and you do not want to give very detailed descriptions of exactly what's taking place in the playroom. So if a child, this actually just recently happened, so I'll give you an actual story from the playroom. There was, this is a related aside, on the parenting podcast that I do, I did a series called Stories from the Playroom, and I would share what was happening in the playroom and how parents can understand why that's significant, and then obviously transition that to real world for them. So I used to do stories from the playroom, so I feel like I'm kind of reliving that again. This last week, I work with brothers, and I typically see them individually, but they wanted to do a group session. And if you all have never done a group session, it's a brave new world. So I have both boys in there. They're both extremely active, extremely physical in their play with each other, but then just individually as well. And it's like everything gets ramped up by 10 when you have two kids in the playroom. So pretty chaotic session. And they have a one-year-old brother, so still an infant in the home. And they're actually quite a bit older. The third baby was a surprise. So I want to say the boys are 8 and 10 or 8 and 11. So they're quite a bit older. And they love their baby brother. There's no question about it. But they both engaged in play where they were pretending to caregive for the baby. They were taking turns being responsible for caring for the baby. And then they would purposefully put it in peril, in danger, hurt it, intentionally injure it, intentionally drop it, intentionally throw it against the wall. And they kept going, oops, and laughing. And I mean, it was this whole thing. And as this was unfolding, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wow, when I meet with mom and dad, this is going to be so interesting to preserve all of this from their ears and their brains, because they would be horrified if they knew that their older boys were pretending to injure the baby in the play. And this is why we say grant in fantasy what we can't grant in reality, right? And this is why we protect parents from the truth of what goes on in the playroom. And it's not just about confidentiality. It is. We are ethically obligated to maintain confidentiality and protect it. However, parents should not and cannot handle the truth of what goes on. So not only do we have an obligation to make sure that we maintain confidentiality, parents should not be made aware of what's going on. They can't handle it. They can't interpret it. They can't understand it. And it's putting them in a very uncomfortable position. So I was sitting in that session thinking, I'm just going to say they're playing out the relationship dynamics about having a new baby in the family and leave it at that. So you have to get really creative and pretty adept at figuring out how to communicate without being, you know, any kind of specific or providing any kind of details. But the point of that is when you are meeting with parents, you can always give high-level view. You can say they're working on self-esteem. You can say they're working on emotional regulation. You can say that they're working on complying with limits. You can say they're working on relationship dynamics. You can say they're processing stuff that happens at school. You can say that they're addressing social issues and peer relationships. You just have to go high enough that broad topic is discussed, but no details and no specificity are presented. Because as soon as you start, then they start asking questions, and then they start worrying, and then they go home and they say, so I know sometimes when you're at play sessions, you blah, blah, blah. And then the kid's like, how in the world do you know that? And that leads me to point number three, which is you have to be walking a tightrope, very fine wire tightrope, of having complete openness, complete honesty, and complete transparency with the child, your client, but also making sure that parents are very clear on your relationship with the child and how important it is to preserve that. So here's what I mean by that. I encourage parents to let their child know that they're meeting with me. I learned the hard way that parents would hide that from their kids. So they would schedule a parent consultation and they would intentionally not tell the child that they met with me. And then I would randomly say something about meeting and the parent would look at me and like shake their head like, no, don't say anything. And so I started making it very clear. I would like you to let your child know that you're going to meet with me. And then I'm very intentional about saying, I wonder if you know that every five times that I meet with you, I also meet with mom and dad or whomever caregiver is. Because the importance of preserving the trust, the importance of preserving the relationship, and making sure that nothing undermines the bond and rapport that has been built, I would never want a child to feel that something happened behind their back. And so if 5 weeks go by after the first meeting and they finally find out that you had a meeting and they say, I didn't know that you met with them. What did you tell them? What did they tell you? What did you tell them? What? Now, all of a sudden, there's question and doubt in their mind. So there's always openness, transparency, honesty, that the child is aware of the meeting. If they ask what you're going to talk about or what is happening or what you're going to share, I remind them of confidentiality obligations. So I say, you know that I'm not allowed to tell anyone what we do or play together. So I'm never going to tell them anything that we do. I just ask them how things are going and they do most of the talking. They just fill me in on what's going on so that I have an update. And you leave it at that because you don't want the child to question that there's something going on that is going to undermine the integrity of the relationship that you've built with them. And with the expectation that the parents are going to be honest with their child and let them know that they're meeting with you, you're also modeling for them what a healthy parent-child relationship looks like. Parents should not hide things from their kids. If they expect their children not to hide things from their parents, parents should not hide things from their kids. And setting the expectation of that and helping them understand the value of that is very powerful. And you have to educate them about age-appropriate truth. And you educate them about why honesty matters and transparency matters in a relationship. This is stuff that a lot of parents don't understand. So that also falls on us to help them understand the value of that. And here's why I think parents get on board with the entire process. Because, and all of the people that have been in my coaching program, they know how systemized we are and how everything has a framework and a process and a system. So they're going to be like, oh yes, we learned all about this, but our system is in place for consultations and our framework is in place so that we know what to say to parents and why, because we have found that this works. And what works is we communicate ad nauseum in 100 ways, in 100 conversations, I have your child's best interest at heart. Everything I tell you, everything I don't tell you, everything I give you a script to share with your kid, every step along the way, every email that I send you, every text that I send you, every point of communication, everything that I do or don't do is because I care about your child and I have their best interest at heart. So if I'm not going to give you details, there's a reason. If I'm going to give you details, there's a reason. If I tell you to say something, do it because there's a reason. If I tell you not to say something, don't say it because there's a reason. And if it is all undergirded with, I care so deeply about your child and everything I do is with your child's best interest, and I will never do anything that will undermine the relationship that I've created with your child. And I have to preserve that relationship at all costs. They will never question you. They will never doubt you. They will never have an issue with anything you do or don't do, because it all comes with the expectation that there's purpose, intention, and thought. And they're not spending a lot of money, they're not spending a lot of time, and they're not investing in this process to then say flippantly, oh, I don't care about breaching confidentiality. You know, my kid doesn't have to trust you for this to work. That would be nonsensical. No parent is going to jeopardize everything that everyone has been working for just to get more information or keep something from their child. They will be fully supportive and fully on board if you take the time to help them understand the why. The why always matters. We come back to that all the time, right? So that is how we preserve confidentiality at the center. I've been getting a lot of questions about that. So hopefully that helps you. And we have to make sure that parents feel that they've been given enough information. So the confidentiality line is enough, but never more than necessary. And those are the ways that we ensure that. So I hope you find that helpful. I hope that it encourages you to have those discussions with parents and share the appropriate things, and then keep other things under wraps and in your documentation only. So, oh my gosh, before we wrap up for today, I am so excited and humbled and thankful for all of you who have already gone to Play Therapy Now and signed up for the newsletter. Oh my word. It's just been like our email box has been inundated with signups. We get a notification every time someone signs up. So thank you so much for your interest and for your willingness to get on the newsletter. We can't wait to send you good stuff. If you go to Play Therapy Now, you can do that. And you can also see some other options and some other things we have going on there. So playtherapynow.com. We'd love to have you sign up for the newsletter. I promise we won't spam you. You know me well enough at this point. It's always valued content, so don't worry about me sending you random things that don't matter. I promise I'll send you things, but they'll be important things. And I hope that you're able to hop on there and get signed up. That would be awesome. And the collective has been amazing. So excited for that as well. So if you're interested in being around a whole bunch of other child-centered play therapists and getting to talk to me each week live and having a community of people to help you and support you and answer questions and debrief all kinds of cases and things like that, the collective is also on Play Therapy Now. You can check that out. So grateful for each and every one of you. My birthday is in 2 days. So very excited about celebrating with my family and getting to do some fun things. So for those of you February birthdays, happy birthday. If by any chance there is a leap year baby that is a listener, your one shot every 4 years is here. So I'm super happy for you. And I was almost leap year baby. I'm February 28th. So I'm so close to being in your boat, but thankfully I'm not 11 or however old I would be, not even 10 and a half. So for those of you leap year babies, if you happen to fall into that category, I'm so happy your birthday's here once every 4 years. I hope you have a great time celebrating. And February birthdays as a whole, happy birthday. I like being born in February. So, all right. It was great to be with you this week. Thanks for your time. Thanks for trusting me and hanging out with me. You know how grateful I am for you. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.